service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. The president is again downplaying any attempts to approve broad immigration reform in the House. He tweets, Republicans should stop wasting their time on immigration until after we elect more senators and congressmen and women in November. Dems are just playing games. We can pass great legislation after the red wave. The tweets are being considered by Speaker Paul Ryan, but as of now, the plan is to vote on a moderate GOP bill sometime next week. After some reunification, about 1,800 children are still being held. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio visited a tent city holding migrant children near El Paso.
The people are demanding a change, and it cannot be ignored.
De Blasio, along with other mayors, were denied entry to that facility. You're listening to USA Radio News.
I love my family, but last week, not so much. They blew through our shared data. Again. Then we switched to Boost and got unlimited gigs, plus 20 gigs of mobile hotspot on each line for the whole family for a great price. So now I love them all again. We just needed a switch.
Switch to Boost and get 3 lines with unlimited gigs for just $100 a month and 20 gigs of mobile hotspot on each line. Plus get up to 3 free phones, all on a super reliable, super fast nationwide network. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save.
Offer ends 8/31/18. First line's $100 a month. Lines 2 and 3 are $0 a month. Requires one line to port in. Line includes unlimited talk, text, and data. Video streams optimized at up to 480p plus. Music at up to 500 kilobits per second. Gaming at up to 2 megabits per second. Data deprioritization during congestion. 3 phones require port in and activation on plans $50 or higher. Coverage and offers not available everywhere. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
In a 5-4 ruling today, the U.S. Supreme Court says police most of the time need a search warrant if they want to collect cell phone information about possible criminal suspects. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum says the case came from a man who was sentenced to 116 years in prison for a string of robberies.
His lawyer said that, look, my client has a reasonable expectation of privacy under the Constitution, and the Fourth Amendment requires the police to obtain a warrant before obtaining this information.
A leading conservative voice has fallen silent. Charles Krauthammer announced a year ago that he was being treated for a cancerous tumor in his abdomen, and earlier this month he announced he had just weeks to live. Awarded a Pulitzer Prize for commentary in 1987, Krauthammer was an influential voice among Republicans through his syndicated column and his appearances on Fox News. He was 68 years old. This is USA Radio News.
Geico presents Unhelpful Home Improvement How-Tos.
Nothing's worse than walking into your garage and realizing a thief has ridden off with your bike. So today, I'll teach you how to burglar-proof your home with a pudding-filled moat. All you need is a backhoe, a drawbridge, and thousands of gallons of butterscotch pudding. Now let's start digging.
You could try to protect your stuff with pudding, or you could get covered for personal property loss through the Geico Insurance Agency. Call Geico and see how affordable homeowners insurance can be.
Yesterday, the Supreme Court ruled that individual states can now collect sales tax from online retailers. With more on the story, here's John Clemens.
Federal legislation will now apparently be necessary to spell out details on how sales tax collection will take place, rather than leaving it up to each of the states to give their own interpretation of the court's ruling. Bethany Ehrenhalt of the National Retail Federation said the Supreme Court acted correctly.
This ruling clears the way for a fair and level playing field where all retailers can compete under the same tax rules, whether they sell in stores, online, or both.
For USA Radio News, I'm John Clemens.
Yet another in a series of studies that finds that coffee may actually be good for you. Here's USA's Chris Barnes.
The new study claims drinking coffee is a good way to have a healthy heart in particular, and that 4 cups a day might be optimum. The German researchers studied caffeinated lab mice, also dosing human tissues with caffeine, and they concluded that caffeine made certain proteins inside older adult cells perform more like young cells. And that seems to improve what they call the powerhouses of cells, especially protective to the heart. Some previous studies have concluded that caffeinated coffee is also very good for the liver. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Well, good afternoon. We'll be here with the sports guys in a minute. I'm Pat Smits, and Bill Wolfson will be here with me. Our friend and colleague John Manfreda is out of the country today. And we were hoping to have another guest, but I don't think that's happening. So in any event, what's happening with the weather? Looks again, Bill, you just came in, but it looks again like it's sunny out there, is it? Or at least cloudy and not raining.
Well, it just finished raining. The sun's coming out again, and it's starting to look like it might be a nice evening, Pat.
Okay. Well, this afternoon there was about a 40% chance of showers, but other than some sprinkles when I came in and maybe a little rain, it looks like it's clearing up again. But we are expecting about 70% likelihood of showers tonight. And then Saturday, showers are likely, and then can expect some thunderstorms, high of about 77 degrees. By Saturday night, thunderstorms likely, and then patchy fog. Into Sunday, mostly cloudy, and then about a 50% chance of thunderstorms later. Into Sunday night, again, chance of thunderstorms, and then slight chance of showers. Lows and highs, 70s. It was really windy and cooler today. They said a high of about 73 today. I'm surprised it was that high. On Monday, beautiful, because we all have to go back to work, should be sunny and 80 degrees. So if you can work on Sunday and take the Monday off, maybe that would be the thing to do. So as we're here today, Bill and I will be your sports guys. And, of course, one of the things, and neither of us are real followers of soccer, but the World Cup is going on, and I know that certainly in Latin America and many places around the world, that is, just the sport. And I guess those of us, although the younger kids are now playing soccer, so, soccer is going to be more and more popular even in this country. So, Bill, what's happening in the World Cup?
Well, you'll all be excited to know that Nigeria beat Iceland 2-0.
Yeah, poor Iceland.
Yeah, hey, they got John Manfreda there. That jinxed them. I'm sure everybody in Iceland is crying the blues today. That game was played earlier today in Russia. Additionally, Switzerland beat Serbia 2-1, and Brazil, no surprise here, beat Costa Rica. The Iceland-Nigerian game was interesting because a guy by the name of Ahmad Musa scored twice in the second half of the game to move Nigeria within one win of the World Cup Sweet 16. So, as you might know, Nigeria will play Argentina again pretty soon. Additionally, because the World Cup's being held in Russia, Russia bid for it, next 4 years from now, the World Cup is going to be here in North America, spread between American, Canadian, and Mexican venues. So that ought to be exciting 4 years from now. I can tell you, I'm not much of a soccer fan. I played a little bit in gym class in high school, but that's really about it. But for those of you out there who like watching a bunch of guys from someplace else run around in their shorts and T-shirts, plenty of it on TV. We're going to see it for at least the next 2 weeks. And people are going to, teams are going to start getting into the foreign round. It's very interesting. Whenever the World Cup is on every 4 years, it seems like all kinds of unrest in foreign countries stops because people are too busy watching TV.
Absolutely. For example, in Peru, after a 36-year wait, Peru finally made it to the World Cup. Half of Peru probably, if they could afford it, they're in Russia now. And if not, if the whole country isn't in Russia, the whole country is watching it. I bet the television sales must have just been tremendous in these countries so that people could get the latest televisions to watch the World Cup, because, of course, I've watched soccer live, and I don't think anyone can realize how competitive and how the fans, I mean, between the soccer games, and I've only been to a couple, and it was years ago in Guatemala, but compared to the football fans, I mean, even Oakland and Philadelphia are mild compared to the reaction of fans in soccer. So in any event, the World Cup, the Peruvians, there was an article in the Times about a man, 81 years old, almost given up hope of seeing his beloved Peru at the World Cup again during his lifetime. Apparently he's been to 13 straight World Cups, beginning with 1970 tournament. And, of course, for much of that time, Peru had failed again and again to make it to the soccer's biggest showcase. But this man kept going, hoping Peru might somehow be part of the World Cup for the first time since 1982. And, of course, now Peru is. And, of course, in Mexico, this is just, I mean, I wonder if anybody can work. Maybe there's a lull in the drug traffic because everybody is so focused on soccer and the World Cup.
Well, Peru is down two. They've lost their two games, so I think they're probably going to end up being eliminated. But, it's interesting. They divide them up in groups A through H with four teams from each country in a group. And not every country made it. The United States is not playing in one of the World Cup groups. You have a traditional powerhouses like England and Germany, Korea, Sweden, Mexico is...
How's Mexico doing?
Mexico's won one game. They won two nights ago, they won on Sunday, June 17th. Huge upset. Mexico beat Germany. Everybody thought Germany would be one of the dominant teams in the World Cup, but Mexico squeaked out a 1-0 win. The German coach was furious with his team and promised that they would do better. Meanwhile, we already reported, Iceland is 0-1. We have a team, the Croatian team, 2-0. They've been playing very strongly. And the Russian team and the Uruguay team are both 2-0. So they seem to be the leaders in the group. So it's going to be very exciting for those of you who follow soccer to see what happens. The French team is 2-0, that's no surprise. And we have even teams like Denmark, small country, limited number of players, they're 1-1. And, we should be seeing a lot of this on TV, especially when we get to the finals. If you've, Pat's been to a number of soccer matches in foreign countries. I've never been to a soccer match in a foreign country, but I've seen the aftermath. My wife and I were staying in Carlisle in the United Kingdom in a hotel right near the train station. And Carlisle apparently lost to Liverpool. By a goal in the last minute after blowing a 2-0 lead. And when the fans got off the train station, at the train station at about 11 o'clock at night, they were not happy. And about half an hour before the train pulled in, all of the police that they could find in the entire county showed up. And what happened was not pretty. The fans came boiling out of the train station, and the cops tried to channel them away, and the fists and the clubs were swinging, and the cops weren't the only ones who had the clubs. So my wife and I, from the third floor of her hotel, looked out the window, and it was in some ways terrible and in some ways extremely entertaining. It was a little bit like Fight Club or the World Wrestling Foundation, except for the fact that it was in the middle of the street. And instead of characters, you had all these British guys who all looked like they had been drinking for at least 2 days before this match, and they were all very angry, and they wanted to take it out on the police. So I will tell you that it's very interesting going to sporting events in foreign countries. Years ago, we saw the Kilkenny Cats play Tipperary in Kilkenny in what's called hurling, which is a little bit like lacrosse but played with a sawed-off hockey stick and a softball. And I don't think the players wear any padding, and once people in the stands realized we were from the U.S., they all wanted to know if we knew their cousin, because apparently there are so many Irish people here in the U.S. But hurling's an interesting game. You can pick up the ball and run three steps, and then you have to swat it with your stick. It's played on a field that looks amazingly like an American football field, except that the goalposts are right on the goal lines. And I think the only rule in the game, other than you can't grab the ball and run more than three steps with it, is I don't think you're allowed any firearms. It's well, that kind of a game.
You know, some sports, you know me, I would enjoy watching most sports. On the other hand, I would not watch a cricket game and cannot figure out, other than it seems to go on and on and on. And the other thing that, frankly, I don't think is a sport, but it is very popular, is bullfighting. And, I guess partly I didn't like bullfighting because I was so concerned about the horses. I mean, I just can't believe that, these horses could also get gored. You know, forget the matador, but the horse is what bothered me. So I think I attended one bullfight, and that was it for me. But soccer is fun to watch when people are really good, and the crowd is, as I said, so enthusiastic. It's such a fast, there's something that seems to be going on all the time. Now football, unfortunately, when you're watching the games, when you're there, it really, all of the commercials, you really understand all of the commercials when you're at a football game and everybody is standing around on the field waiting for the commercial.
Well, that's the thing I don't like about pro football anymore. It's totally dominated by the big glass eye of TV or cable TV. I'd almost rather go and watch a college game where the flow of the game really is not interrupted by commercial after commercial after commercial. I'm hoping to get to a couple of Phillies games this summer, and I know that even though I'm going to pay a premium for the privilege of sitting there and having advertising hit me over the head, I love baseball. And I'd like to at least get in a game or two. One of the things I wanted to mention, Pat, is we had the NBA draft last week. Actually, it was this week. And the Knicks drafted an 18-year-old man by the name of Kevin Knox. Kevin Knox is 6'9".
Wow.
He's 18 years old. Knicks coach Dave Fizdale says that his rookie season is going to be spent as a reserve, but he thinks... Fizdale thinks that Kevin Knox is going to crack the Knicks starting lineup at small forward. He was a first-round pick at number 9 on Thursday, just 2 days ago, yesterday, and he checked every box for the Knicks. They really liked
him. How old is he, 18?
Only 18.
Where did he come from?
That's a good question. I think he came from Kentucky. Where he struggled defensively. John Calipari said that was not something you really need to worry about because his body of work, his skill set, his work ethic translates into what he can do, and he'll be productive. He knows how to shoot the ball. He finishes well around the rim, and he runs the floor very well. He can get to spots, and guys who are natural scorers, as he's been called, well, that stuff translates. Everybody liked Tatum. Who was not drafted by the Knicks. So we've got some interesting players out there. That'll be maybe the Knicks will be able to pull it out from under being the doormats of the NBA. So meanwhile, the Yankees have won their 50th game, just as the Red Sox did, except that the Yankees still have four games in hand. And, you know, they're an embarrassment of riches this time. The first day of summer was yesterday, and the Yankees finished off a 4-3 win over a very good Seattle Mariners team for victory number 50. The Yankees hit homers. They got a good, sturdy start. They finished with good bullpen work, and they're doing to a historic levels. The only Yankee team to reach 28 games over 500 and 50 wins more quickly was a 1998 club, which won 114 regular games, led by Joe Torre, and a world championship. They played, I believe, San Diego in a World Series. Right now, the Yankees are on pace to win 113 games, but staying on that course is going to mean dealing with the inevitable injuries.
Well, and you know, when they say on pace, you never know.
That's right.
On pace means little or nothing if they go into a two-week slump.
Right, but remember, the Red Sox are only two games back, and they can't seem to put much distance between themselves and Boston. Hopefully, the Yankees will be able to put some put a really long streak together, but since they struggled in April, they've taken off, and they've been red hot, so... I think the three best teams in baseball right now are the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Astros, with the Astros perhaps a cut above because of the better starting pitching. But CeCe Sabathia told the press that he doesn't think that they've played well yet. They haven't dominated yet for a week or two, but he thinks the team's going to be able to do it. And yet the Yankees seem to be averaging more runs than any other team in the big leagues, plus – Giancarlo Stanton hasn't really woken up yet. Gary Sanchez is still struggling. They finally got Greg Bird back from a year and a half of injuries. And they may be able to get better pitching out of Sonny Gray and Masahiro Tanaka once Tanaka comes back from a disabled list. The Yankees are still looking to make a trade for another starter and another lefty setup man. The Yankees reached the American League Championship Series but lost to Houston in Game 7, and even Dellin Betances said that he thinks he's that the Yankees are a better team than in 2017. Right now, they have the 2017 Most Valuable Player in Giancarlo Stanton. They've got Andujar and Torres, two rookies who they're going to have for a long time in the infield rather than Chase Headley and Todd Frazier or Starlin Castro. They've got Jonathan Holder filling the Chad Green surprise bullpen role from last year, and they still have Chad Green out there. So there's a lot of talent. The team's doing real well. They swept a Seattle team at Yankee Stadium. And remember, on Wednesday night, they came back from a 5-0 deficit. And Thursday, in a day game, they protected a 4-0 lead. So it's all been home runs and the bullpen.
Well, that from a true Yankee fan.
Amen.
If John was here, we'd hear another version, and I'm not sure that he's able to listen to us today in Iceland, but if he is, he'll have some rebuttal when he comes back next week. So let's bring you some news from some of our sponsors, and then we'll be back.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody out there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, Bill, we're back, and of course the football stations are already talking about who's going to make the playoffs this next year. And there was a lot of discussion this week about the Eagles and will they make the playoffs. What I thought was interesting in the last five Super Bowl teams, but they missed the playoffs the following year. So, you know, you never know. But I think everybody is saying that the Eagles are just really looking great. That they're, you know, and I know you would say this, but what I'm saying is, from what I'm seeing, they won't miss the playoffs. They've got the right play caller. They're a team built to win. They have the energy. They seem to have a strong locker room. They seem to have everyone's backs. There doesn't seem to be the kind of dissension that sometimes, you know, creeps up in a Super Bowl team. And who did they lose? I mean, they lost a couple guys, but they really haven't lost, not like with the Ravens, as I recall a few years ago when the Ravens won the Super Bowl. You know, there weren't so many of the guys left the team.
Well, remember that one of the reasons the Eagles didn't clean house after the win was because a lot of those people are on relatively inexpensive contracts, and they have every reason to be kept happy. Nobody wants to leave a winner. There were some people who simply weren't re-signed, but these were people who the Eagles really didn't play, spend a lot of money on, or people who they thought would do better elsewhere, and they're going to allow the Eagles to upgrade. I was surprised to see Brent Celek, who I always liked, move on from the Eagles. I think he signed with Seattle, actually, but I could be wrong with that. But the short and the tall of it is the Eagles managed to upgrade themselves a little bit with on their offensive line. They drafted a good offensive lineman. And we're going to see how things shake out. Remember, training camps are literally a month away before they start, and we're going to start seeing the sports writers and the sports media talking more and more about football. We get closer and closer to the training camp. You know, the Eagles train at Nova Center now down in Philly, where they used to train at Lehigh University, and I like going up to Lehigh and watching them. On a nice summer evening, it was always kind of fun. And I remember when the Jets and the Washington Redskins would have the occasional scrimmage at Lafayette College in Easton. So we've got all of that to look forward to. But meanwhile, if we really want to talk winter sports, we can talk about the New York Rangers and their rebuilding. We can also talk about how the New York Islanders just signed a new coach, Barry Trotz, who ought to help them keep one of their better players in.
Well, a couple things before we do that, because I'm still on football, of course.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And what do you think the Cowboys losing both Witten and Dez Bryant, what do you think that's going to do to that team?
I think Dez Bryant has seen his better days. I think Dallas will struggle. I think that Dallas will probably end up at the bottom of the league and other division, unless the Redskins completely tank and the Giants are riddled with injuries. The interesting thing for everyone is that there are there's also another move. The New York Islanders, you know, hired Barry Trotz. Lou Lamoriello, who formerly of the Maple Leafs and the New Jersey Devils, where he built good teams, is now working, you know, with the Islanders as their GM. And he just hired Barry Trotz, who walked away from the Caps after guiding the Caps to the Stanley Cup and went out on the open market. So now you've got a Stanley Cup winning coach. Trotz signed a 5-year deal with the Islanders worth north of $20 million. And, you know, they're doing this because they want to convince John Tavares to avoid free agency and sign again with the Islanders. And Tavares is their best center forward. Tavares is going to be courted seriously by a lot of clubs, including the Maple Leafs, unless he signs again with the Islanders on July 1. Now, Tavares would prefer to remain an Islander, and I think Lou Lamoriello is going to give him whatever he wants to stay there. Congratulations to New Jersey Devils forward Taylor Hall for winning the Most Valuable Player of the Year with the NHL. We are going to see some good hockey, I think, here in the New York, Philadelphia region this year. Hopefully the Flyers will once again hit the playoffs and get a little bit deeper. But between the Pens and the Washington Capitals, they don't seem to have had much success over the past few years. Meanwhile, the New York Mets are slowly sinking down into the depths of the National League East. Between injuries and bad plays, mistakes on the field, just not coming through, pitching, the pitching goes bad or the hitters get cold. The Mets just seem to have no luck at all. They're the Mets. After a great April start, where I think they were 11-1, they're now beginning to get worse than brown around the edges. So it'll be interesting to see if the Mets are going to dump any of their great pitching. DeGrom, you have Thor. There may be a couple of other guys who know that they're going to be going. The Mets have now lost 41 games, and they've earned every one of those 41 losses. I mean, they've really not been playing well at all. There's an overall deficiency in talent, which kind of shows it shows up almost daily. And there's a real big gap between teams like the Braves, the Phillies, and Washington, and the New York Mets. And there doesn't seem to be anything other than a very thin lineup. And I'm not impressed with the way Mickey Callaway has managed yet. The Mets don't have hitters that could take advantage of other teams' weaknesses. Steve Matz gave up 3 runs the other night before he retired a batter, and the Mets were down 5-1 after 2 innings once Nolan or Renato came in and shot a 3-run home run to left field in the first and then hit a 2-run double off the right field wall in the second. We know that the Mets star player, Jonas Hepzibetis, is still rehabbing down at the Mets farm team in Farm Club site in Port St. Lucie in Florida. It's been a rough season for him, and it's getting deeper and deeper. My brother, who is a huge Mets fan, is bemoaning the fact that he's 6-20. They're 6-20 over their past 26 games, and they don't seem to do very well on the road, where the last 17 road games are 5-12. This is not a team that is entertaining. This is not a team that excites you. This is not a team that seems to be able to find ways to win. I think there's a lot of missing winning parts. They're usually getting overmatched between injuries to good players and the inability of the guys that they bring in to replace them. It just isn't working. I think the Mets are going to have to get a lot worse before they get any better. I think this is a lost season for them. I think they ought to trade away a pitcher or two. Some of them are very good. For as many replacement parts as they can get, New York sports press has been all over that issue now for about 3 weeks. So it looks like the Mets are really going to be having some problems. This is going to be a long season for their fans. The one thing you won't have to worry about is getting a good seat or a good parking spot. If you want to go out and watch some of the better teams play the Mets at Citi Field, it's a nice ballpark. But on the other hand, you might not want to watch the game too closely because you won't be real happy. Pat, what do you think of sports fans who cannot even bear to look at their teams when they're playing badly?
Well, you know, growing up a Packers fan, we had great years and more to come. But there were a lot of down years, and I think the Packer fans were always loyal fans. So, I don't know. I mean, look at the Browns. They won, one game in the last two seasons. The last two seasons, they were 1-31. On the other hand, I don't think that Brown season tickets are going for premium. They obviously have good people. The question is, can they win? Do they have that final, put these people together and then win? And that was one of the things that, some of these outstanding coaches, they can take a team that's not been a winning team and then all of a sudden use the same guys and put together a winning team. I mean, I don't know what someone who was drafted by the Browns, I can imagine that wasn't the happiest thing that they wanted, because I think everybody who goes into the NFL wants to go to a Super Bowl. But, in talking, you know me, I talk football all the time. And, of course, what's happening in Green Bay, they're getting ready to celebrate the 10 decades that have passed since they were first organized. And they were first organized at a meeting in downtown Green Bay in August of 1919. So they're going to have celebrations throughout this year that culminate back in August of 2019. But one of the things, I mean, if you want to go out to the Midwest and see Packer players, they're just beginning in June. Lambeau Field is going to be presented taking Packers on the road. And so there's going to be a free traveling interactive exhibit, including everything that the fans in Wisconsin and fans of Packers all over love about Lambeau Field. And so there are going to be five locations around the state of Wisconsin that are featuring several Packer alums, as well as this interactive exhibit. And, for example, one of my favorites is going to be is Robert Brooks. I don't know if you remember Robert Brooks. He was just this. I once saw Robert Brooks next to Reggie White, and it looked like you had the Hulk with the kindergartner. But anyway, he was one of my favorites. Both Antonio Freeman and Robert Brooks are going to be at the EAA Adventure in Oshkosh, Wisconsin this summer. Antonio Freeman's going to be there on July 23rd to July 26th, and Robert Brooks on July 27th to July 29th. Packer President Mark Murphy will appear. Attendees, in the Tundra line will perform. I mean, these are, this is my Wisconsin. The Summerfest in Milwaukee We're going to have Leroy Butler will be there, Doug Evans. Again, the Mark Murphy will appear. There are going to be activities, alumni court, you know, questions and answers. Nobody really, I don't know of any other team that involves the fans all year long the way the Packers do. I mean, they'll have a pregame where they have the kids in. They have so many things. But anyway, there's a Chippewa Falls, which is the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. You're getting Lynn Dickey will be there, one of the all-time, you know, really well-known players. And again, the activities, they'll have activities and questions and answers and photos and history presentations. And, you know, this is why every kid in Wisconsin, from the time they're out of diapers, becomes a Packer fan.
Well, let's talk about the team really involving their fans. And here's a way you might not want a team to involve their fans. And, of course, this story comes out of my favorite sports town, Philadelphia. As you know, Pat, there's not supposed to be any crying in baseball. But what happens if you've been hit in the eye with a flying hot dog launched from the Philly Fanatics hot dog firing cannon? That's what happened to a Pennsylvania woman from Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania, Monday night during the Phillies-Cardinals game at Citizens.
Now, what happened to her?
Citizens Bank Park. She got hit in the eye with a flying hot dog propelled from the hot dog launcher fired off by the Philly Fanatic. The hot dog, she said, just came out of nowhere, said Kathy McVeigh. She told WPBI-TV and Hart. And who was the culprit? The Phillies' big green mascot, the Philly Fanatic, who sailed the sausage into the stands with his hot dog launching gun. The next thing I know, he shot it in our direction, and this hot dog, bam, it hit me like a ton of bricks. My glasses flew. Photos posted online showed Mrs. McVeigh with bruises under her right eye and on her nose following the Fanatic's error. After going to the emergency room at the stadium for a check for a concussion, she said she's been applying ice to her face every 20 minutes. She doesn't plan on bringing any legal action against the Phillies, who contacted her to apologize. But
can you imagine going into work the next day and saying, and your boss saying, "Well, what happened to you?"
And I got hit.
Hit in the eye with a hot dog.
A flying, air-launched hot dog from a Philly Fanatic. Now, that's got to be. In the world of sports injuries, that's got to be the most unusual one, I have to say.
That has to be fairly unusual. That, and I bet they didn't even catch it on camera.
Well,
maybe they did.
They did indeed, and it was all over the Philadelphia news station Tuesday and Wednesday. So if you go to the Phillies game, folks, beware of those flying hot dogs.
Well, And of course, one of the reasons that the Phillies wanted to apologize, I'm sure, is that they were thinking about the lawsuits that could happen with...
I would love to draft that complaint.
Well, you know, things happen. And it's not like she was hit in the head with a baseball.
Well, there's no... And remember, the next time, all you have to do is open your mouth.
Well, then she would have had to move and, you know... This thing probably was flying at a pretty fast speed if she couldn't get out of the way. And, I mean, at the least, they should give her hot dogs for life.
Well, I think should give her season's tickets.
Season
as many
tickets.
Hot dogs as she can stand.
Season tickets with hot dogs for life for her and her significant other. I think that should be the...
I quite agree. Meanwhile, you know, the fighting Phillies are playing really well. They beat the Cardinals a couple of times, and it looks like Cesar Hernandez might now be their best position player. The second baseman, Cesar Hernandez, hit his eighth home run of the season, and this is a position that since Joe Morgan retired, the Phillies have had a tough time finding good second basemen. Everybody thought that with Scott Kingery, one of the Phillies' major prospects climbing rapidly through the minors, would be playing second. But Cesar Hernandez is hitting a ton. He's playing well. And he had a number of hits against the Braves. And manager Gabe Kapler is going to say, look, I'm sticking with the hot hands. Hernandez started again the other night and got two more hits. He started all but one game at second. And Kingery is finding out that he's playing a lot of at short and at third. The thinking is simple. You don't sit one of your best players, and he's probably the Phillies' best position player right now. Even though he is hitting, he's been the leadoff guy. His batting average has not been below 260 since April. He's gotten 48 walks, which is eighth in the big leagues. And his on-base percentage is .370, which is very good. And he's second in runs scored in the National League. He's only committed four errors while he's handled the most chances in baseball at second this year. So Cesar Hernandez is a guy to watch, as is Kingery and also shortstop J.P. Crawford. The Phillies have a good infield. They're getting decent pitching. They are finding the way to win. Sometimes with a home run, sometimes with good defense and pitching, sometimes with good base running and good basic baseball. So, hot dogs notwithstanding, they're a good team to watch.
Well, with that, let's talk about some of our sponsors, and then we'll be back to finish up and see what else is happening in sports.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
All righty, we're back. Bill Wolfson and I. I'm out of sports, Bill, so what do you have?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm ducking all the flying hot dogs I can these days, as much as I love them. But let's talk a little bit more about sports before we pack it in. Tomorrow they say rain off and on. I don't think it's going to be all that terrible. I think it's going to be a little drizzly.
I don't know what they say. Actually, there's a 70% chance of showers in this area, likely, and then thunderstorms. But, of course, if you recall the prediction from last weekend, it was totally wrong, as I recall. Wednesday, we were concerned because it was graduation and for our granddaughter, and it turned out no rain. It was fine. So, you can never... I think these predictions lately are not accurate, and we don't want it to be accurate this weekend.
Well, that's right. But meanwhile, talking about the NBA draft again, the Sixers drafted Michael Bridges with their 10th pick in the draft. It was highest on their board. He's a homegrown product from Villanova, but he was only a Sixer for less than an hour. They traded him to, of all places, Atlanta. And got a number of players back. The Phoenix Suns. And the Phoenix now has the number one overall pick, DeAndre Ayton. But the real question is how many guys did they get back right after Brian Colangelo's very strange resignation for allegedly his wife's tweets? The Sixers got back Zaire Smith. And a first-round pick. So this should be very interesting how this shakes out. But, trading away a local guy, especially a guy from Villanova, the NCAA men's basketball champs this year, takes some guts.
Hmm.
Meanwhile, the Sixers traded him to the Phoenix Suns for Zaire Smith, who was the number 16 overall pick. And they got the Miami Heat's 2021 first-round pick. With a 26th-round pick, they took Landry Shamet out of Wichita State. And then they traded their 38th pick to the Detroit Pistons for two future second-round picks. And then they traded their 39th pick to the Lakers for a 2019 second-rounder and some cash.
Talking about the Lakers, apparently according to what I've been seeing, they're making no progress with the San Antonio Spurs. One of the questions, and maybe you've heard something more, but Kawhi Leonard wanted to be traded, and of course the Spurs want to keep him. He only played about 9 games last season. Although he has a contract for another year, there's been some question about whether or not his injury really should have been keeping him out of the game. I don't know if you heard anything more about that. I frankly don't know much about him, so don't know why there would be such a big fight over keeping him or losing him or why the Lakers would want him. Well, do you know anything more about that?
No, I'm not really sure about that answer at all. We also have the NHL draft coming up today. The opening, and the Flyers hold the 14th and 19th pick. In what is going to prove to be a defenseman-dominated draft down in Dallas. We don't know who they're going to take. Ron Hextall would like to trade up to around 7, but if he does, maybe he'll take Evan Bouchard, who's a right-handed defenseman with a great upside. He's 18 years old. He's 6'2", 196 pounds, and still growing. He's played 3 seasons in the Ontario Hockey League, and maybe he's ready, maybe he's not. There's also Noah Dobson, who is also... in the Quebec League, and it could be that they end up with him. But if Hextall can't trade up, he may be grabbing a left winger, Joel Farabee, if he's still available. He's 6', 162 pounds, good playmaker and scorer, who has been compared favorably, I think, with Jake Guentzel, who had 23 goals last year for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
It's amazing how young some of these kids, especially the Canadians, are, because... 18 years old, how long had he been playing I know they have a different setup where here most of the kids, you know, finish high school, go, and then maybe go into a year or two of juniors. But there they seem to pull them much faster, put them through much faster to the point where they're ready to move up, what, 18, 19, yeah. 20 years old.
Oh, yeah. And remember, a lot of these guys from about 16 onward may be playing in a league and staying at home with somebody other than their parents.
Well, that's what the juniors do also. But I could be wrong. I think all of the kids in the U.S. teams that do that, I think they graduate from high school first. Now, there might be some who are continuing high school, but I think that they've either drop out of school or they've graduated before they go into that first league and then hope to go to college. Of course, if they're really that good, they could go directly up to the pros.
Well, you know, it's always exciting to watch the NHL draft and watch the wheeling and dealing it goes on and how people seem to pick some of these young men who are all excellent players, but it takes rare people to be able to compete at the National Hockey League level. If you sit down near the ice at an NHL game and compare it with, say, an East Coast Hockey League game, the speed of the NHL game is just unbelievably faster. It's like they've cranked it up about five notches.
That's true. But I think, you know, I don't tend to watch the NHL draft because I don't know enough about the players. I mean, the when it's fun, and it must be really fun for people who are both, you know, football, college football and pro football fans, because they know these kids coming out of the colleges. And I'm sure some people who, you know, follow hockey, not just at the professional level, but at other levels, they'll be better able you know, to make a decision as to, wow, that's a real good pick. I'm glad they did that. Or why? I wonder why they were going after this guy in light of, you know, some of the other players that I think could be better suited. So I think that's the one thing. Once you're really able to watch, you know, an NFL draft or an NBA draft or, you know, it just... To really understand that, I think a lot of people, you know, they have to follow the kids as their way up, or else just believe the pundits at what they're saying about them.
Well, folks, it's going to be an interesting NHL draft. It starts tonight at 7:30 for round one, and tomorrow afternoon they'll have the remaining rounds. So there are a lot of good young players out there, and hopefully the Flyers will pick somebody who is going to be NHL ready in a year or two. One of the things that is exciting is that they may pick a guy by the name of Sandin, who is built like Flyer defenseman Kimmo Timonen, excuse me. And he's a smart guy, good higher hockey IQ, and gives him an edge. And he was teammates with the Flyers prize pick Morgan Frost and Sault Ste. Marie in the Ontario Hockey League. So the best guess is that Flyers are going to pick Farabee at number 14 and Sandin at 19 if they're available. And Hextall's unsuccessful in moving up in the draft and getting defenseman Bouchard. But, you know, it's 5:59, Pat. It's time for us to wish our people out there listening to us
And I know
weekend.
My family in Wisconsin will all be watching the NHL draft tonight. And big hockey fans, big football fans, and you know, at least you know, it'll be an interesting draft. And I guess one of the things, maybe next time, Bill, you have to tell me why someone who's 6'9" would be that much. Well, wait a minute, that was basketball, wasn't it? It wasn't hockey. That was somebody coming up in basketball.
Well,
forget
that's
it.
Basketball. It's hard to know, but big guys for.